It's good to see everybody this morning. Thank God for our little ones. Amen. What an honor it is that they get up here and worship and praise. There's nothing more There's nothing more exciting than, you know, make a parent proud than watching their kids, you know, worship and serve the Father. You know, me and Nick been telling ours that since they was little, you know, there's nothing that make us more proud. There's nothing you can do, no baseball game you can play, no cheerleading you can do that makes us more proud than you serving the Father. We'll get it. But yeah, it's just an honor. It's an honor to see that, you know, and the Bible tells you that you train them up in the way they should go and they'll never depart from the faith. And that's so important. So important. We are in the understanding the words of Jesus. First of all, like I said, thank every one of y'all for coming out. You know, thank the Father that he seen fit to have everybody here that's here, that he ordained this day. It's just an honor and a privilege just to come here and take part in his word and to worship and praise him. Because he, like we were just saying, he deserves all the glory and honor. There's no doubt. He deserves it all for everything that he done did. If he does nothing else, he done did a lot. And I misquoted a scripture last night. I don't know if anybody caught it. But it was a scripture. I said Jeremiah 29:11. And that was, for I know the plans that I have for you, declare the Lord. But I quoted that my ways and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And that's in Isaiah 55. So I had to make that correction because, you know, you go home and you're sitting there thinking about everything you said. And that came to mind. I'm like, oh, man, I misquoted the wrong scripture. So it was Isaiah 55 and not Jeremiah 29:11. So I just want to get that taken care of. And, this is our starting slide, our starting scripture from when we first opened up, and it's that John 6:63. It said, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. And how many know that that's important? And that's the quote from our Mashiach, our rabbi. He said that the words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. And we're touching, this is where we're at. We just finished up on that born again. And this is that John 3:3. It says, Yeshua answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of Yahweh. And that's what we're going to start on this morning, is about the kingdom of Yahweh. It's important that we know that kingdom of Yahweh. You cannot be light without understanding the kingdom. You can't be a witness without understanding the kingdom. So what is this kingdom of Yahweh? Acts 1:1-11. Revealing the kingdom of God. Revealing the kingdom of Elohim. Acts 1:1-11, it says, the first account I composed, Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up to heaven. After he had by the Holy Spirit given orders to the apostles whom he had chosen. So if in order for him to be taken up to heaven, he had to have been on earth. To these he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many convincing proofs appearing to them over a period of 40 days and speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God. Gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised. And now this is Luke, the physician. Luke wrote the book of Acts. And this, you know, this is him writing, but he's taking pen and paper, and as he's following the Yeshua, his rabbi, he's writing down everything he's saying. He said, gather them together. He commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, you heard of from me, meaning Yeshua. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So that's the promise. The promise is the Holy Spirit. That's the promise that the Father has given. He said, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had came together, they were asking him, saying, Lord, is it at this time you are restoring the kingdom of Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know times or epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority. But look at verse 6. It says that latter part. Is it at this time you are restoring the kingdom to Israel? In order to restore something, it had to have already been here. So, you know, we got a table in our house, and many of you might have seen it. It's white. Well, it's that antique look now. It didn't look like that at first. It was brown. It was a brown table. But it was restored. My wife and her nanny, a woman that she knows, they restored that. So to restore something, to restore that kingdom, had to have already been here. But, you know, it was tainted by sin, by one man's sin. The kingdom that he had gave that was here, and which it talks about in Genesis 1, that's the kingdom that was perfect at first until one man came and sin entered, one man's sin and debt and all that entered into the world. He said to them, is it not for you to know times or epochs which the Father has fixed by his own kingdom? And that kingdom that was here on earth, you know, Adam was the king of that kingdom. He said he gave him dominion over everything. If he gives you the dominion over everything, you're the king of that kingdom. So Adam was the king of the kingdom that was here on earth. And after he had said these things, he was lifted up while they were looking on, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And as they were gazing intently into the sky while he was going, behold, two men in white clothing stood beside him. Just remember, they was gazing. They was lifted up, and the cloud received them out of their sight. So they was looking up and going. And once the clouds received them, they couldn't see him no more. They also said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in just the same way as you have watched him go into heaven. So, you know, this is how you can tell who the Messiah is and who the Mashiach is, because there's many that's going to come and say they're the Christ, they're the Messiah. But it tells us how he's going to come, just like they received him. Just like he went up in the clouds, that's how he's going to come back. So, you know, when you run into somebody or hear about, oh, the Messiah is here, that's nonsense. What is the kingdom of Yahweh? Just what is the kingdom of Yahweh, and when does it appear? Is it in heaven? Is it the British Empire? Is it the universal church? Is it the millennium? Is it the hearts of men, or merely the good within each person? That's what people's teaching, those points. Millions believe these popular ideas, yet they are all wrong. Unnecessary confusion and disagreement reign. Here is the Bible explanation made plain. So this is what we're going to go through. We're going to go through the Bible and let the Bible explain. And it's going to be very simple, very plain of what the Bible says about the kingdom of God. What is the gospel? The gospel is about the kingdom. Yeshua stated, "Repent you and believe the gospel," Mark 1 through 15. Yeshua stated, "Repent you and believe the gospel." So in order for you to believe the gospel, you have to do something. You have to repent. If you don't repent, you will not believe the gospel. You will not believe the kingdom of Elohim. And he's talking to believers. You can't expect the world to believe the gospel because they never repented yet. So you have to repent in order to believe the gospel. Mark 1, 1 through 15. The beginning of the good news of Yeshua Messiah, the son of Elohim. Listen, the beginning of the good news. That's what Yeshua preached. He was the first one to preach the gospel, to preach the kingdom. Yeshua was the first one to preach the kingdom, the good news, the kingdom of Elohim. As it is written in the prophets, "Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of Yahweh, make his path straight." John did baptize in the wilderness and preach the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins. There was repenting. And John was clothed with camel's hair and with the girdle of a skin about his loins, and he did eat locusts and wild honey. Now, can you imagine this guy, John, clothed with camel's hair? I mean, people must have thought this man was absolutely crazy, a wild man, eating locusts and wild honey. Anybody ever try to eat a locust? If you would see somebody eat a locust, you would think they're crazy. Nowadays, if somebody eat locusts, they'll probably want to admit them. They'll call people to come get people like that if they're eating locusts. And preach, saying, "There cometh one mightier than I after me, the latch of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit." That promise. And it came to pass in those days that Yeshua came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens open and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, "Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So we see a distinction right here. There's a voice coming from heaven. That voice is the Father. And he's saying, "Thou art my beloved Son." Talking about Yeshua. So you got the Father in heaven and Yeshua here on earth, in whom I am well pleased. And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered unto him. Now after that, John was put in prison. Yeshua came into Galilee, preaching the good news of the kingdom of Elohim. And saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of Elohim is at hand. Repent ye and believe the good news." Listen what he's saying, repent. John was saying the same thing. John said that the kingdom is near. Now, that's an idiom, is what they spoke in idioms back then. It doesn't mean that he was just telling that it's close, it's coming. But you got to repent ye and believe the good news. But just what is the gospel? Most never concern themselves with this question. The truth of the gospel has remained it hidden from view to the vast majority of professing Christians. Ever since the first century, there has been a conspiracy to deceive would-be Christians about the meaning of the gospel. Shocking as it seems, this has happened. Most believe that the gospel is about the person of Yeshua Messiah. Now listen closely, because when you say something like this, people can get a little bothered by these statements. Certainly Messiah's role is enormous, but he is not the gospel. Is it important that he came and died? Absolutely. Did we need that? Absolutely. Is his role enormous? Yes, but he is not the gospel. The Bible shows that Yeshua Messiah is preached in conjunction with the gospel. So he can't be the gospel if he's preaching conjunction with the gospel. Others proclaim a gospel of salvation or a gospel of grace. And you've probably heard all these terms. Still others believe a gospel of miracles or a social gospel. That's a big one. That's huge nowadays, this social gospel. You pull up on Facebook, and we got a lot of Facebook preachers. We got a lot of Facebook prayer warriors. We got a lot of Facebook ministers. You got just that social gospel. It done grew rapidly. And, I mean, everywhere you look, somebody's praying for somebody. You send out a prayer request, you got a lot of likes, a lot of praying hands. But where they at? Where you see them on a Sunday morning or a Thursday or Wednesday or a Saturday? Some places you can see them when they're going live. It's not a place that you want them to be praying. Look, you send it out at 11, 12 o'clock on a Saturday, a prayer request, and they'll tell you they're praying for you. But when you look at their live video, you don't want no prayers coming from where they're praying at, where they praying hands is at. That's for sure, because let me tell you, first of all, the Father's not in the area like that. He will not go in places like that. So that's used, the social gospel. Or a gospel of foods, or of healing, or of faith. That's another big one, the gospel of faith. There are also those who merely think of gospel music. When the word gospel comes to mind, there are all man-made ideas that are not what the Bible says. Notice Mark's account once again. Now, after that, John was put in prison. Yeshua came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of Elohim. That is the gospel Yeshua preached. It was in this context that he has said, repent you and believe the gospel. What gospel? Of the kingdom of Yahweh. If you don't understand the gospel of the kingdom, it is impossible for you to have salvation that Yeshua talks about. If we go, we going to go through the scripture and show you get the kingdom and show you what the kingdom is all about. Verse 1 refers to this very message when it says, the beginning of the gospel of Yeshua Messiah. The gospel of Yeshua Messiah was about the kingdom of Elohim, not something else. One must believe and understand that the gospel to be saved, not a counterfeit or substitute. We have a strong warning not to pervert the gospel. And a perverted gospel causes confusion. And the scripture plainly says that he is not the author of confusion. But a perverted gospel clearly is a gospel that causes confusion. The truth of this subject is so important that Elohim inspired the Apostle Paul to warn the Galatians then and us today. Galatians 1, 6 through 9. It says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Messiah unto another good news. So listen, if Paul knew back then that he was dealing with this back then, another good news, don't you think that we're dealing with that today? It says, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the good news of the Messiah. There's, 38,000 denominations? That's a lot of confusion. That's a lot of another good news that Paul's talking about that troubles you. But though we, or an angel from heaven, listen to what he's saying. He's including himself. Preach any other good news unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. So if you're not preaching the good news that Yeshua preached, he said it will be an accursed unto you. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other good news unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. This is a very strong statement in the next chapter, Galatians 2:5. Paul went on to stress the hope that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. So there is the true gospel with all others false. There's only one true gospel, and all the others are false, Paul's saying. Galatians 2:1-5. It says, then 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem, and Barnabas, and took Titus with me also, and I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that good news which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And that because of false brethren, unawares, brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Messiah Yeshua, that they might bring us into bondage. To whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the good news might continue with you. Plainly, Paul never taught a different or additional gospel, as some allege. Ironically, Elohim used him to be the one to warn against ever allowing such false teaching. He even pronounced a curse in that 1:8 on any man, angel, or even apostle. So he didn't exclude himself or neither the apostles. But though we apostles preach any other gospel, who chooses to violate this command, what a powerful scripture. Paul further explained that the apostles were entrusted by Elohim to preserve the true gospel. Notice 1 Thessalonians 2:4. But as we were allowed of Elohim to be put in trust with the good news, even so we speak not as pleasing men, but Elohim which trieth our hearts. Even so we speak not as pleasing men. You know, preaching the scripture and preaching the kingdom, preaching the truth is not very popular. You know, and because they want charisma, they want that itching ear, the Bible talks about it. They want what's going to make them feel good. You know, speaking the truth is not popular. And you can see it. You go look at big mainstream churches and his house is packed. But they're not preaching the true gospel. They're not preaching the truth. You know, you see the churches that preaching the truth. Very little. Just like, you know, straight is the gate. Straight is the way. Narrow. But few find that. Broad is the way. Many being deceived. This is a responsibility not to be taken lightly. True ministers always teach what Elohim commands, not what pleases men or Bible scholars. So any idea that Paul taught another gospel, usually thought to be about Messiah, is silly. Paul wasn't a man pleaser. He would have been literally pronouncing a curse on himself. All who preach a false gospel automatically pronounce a curse on themselves. Why do men not fear to do this? Why are so many willing to teach anyone a variety of false gospels? The churches of mainstream Christianity cannot agree on what the gospel is. Why? Why they can't? I don't know why, you know, why they don't fear that. Because, I mean, that's a dangerous situation, a dangerous spot, that you're going to misquote Yeshua and his father's words, that you would rather please men than please him. That's, you know, I don't understand that. And I'm so glad that we have been willing and humble to submit and admit that we was wrong, admit to the teachings that we was going through, that it wasn't right, that it didn't line up with Scripture, that we misquoted Scripture. And that's all he wants. It's not that we had to, do some kind of magic or walk on lava. You know, just say, hey, we was wrong, Father. Open up our understanding. Open up our eyes. Because what we did back then was wrong. We was wrong for doing that. We're sorry. Help us to understand. Help us to do better. But you got these, you know, these preachers who's preaching false gospel. Just plain and simple. It was what they're doing. It's what Paul called it, false gospel. Since Messiah said the gospel was about the kingdom of Elohim, and men do not know what the kingdom of Elohim is, they have concluded that the kingdom may be a particular church denomination or Christianity collectively. Meaning that, I'm going to go to Assembly of God, or I'm going to go to Full Gospel, or I'm going to go to... Well, they got so many. Like I said, 38,000. You can choose whichever one you want. And it's not about being part of a church denomination. It's, you know, what Elohim, what our Messiah preached, the kingdom of Elohim, the gospel. And that's what the kingdom of Elohim is about, the gospel. Others reduce it to a warm feeling in the hearts of people. And you know, you hear this sometimes. Well, I just didn't feel it. I went to that church, but I didn't feel nothing. Well, I mean, if it's a warm feeling you want, well, today we can't make that happen because something's wrong with our thermostat. But we can put it warm up in here. You know, people can have a warm feeling if they want it. You can crack that baby up to 80-something. You have your sweat. But, you know, hey, you got to watch out for these warm feelings. It's not about a feeling. We got to get past that in the hearts of people. Still, others believe that it is the millennium or even the British Empire. Some have even concluded that the gospel of the kingdom of Elohim is not for mankind today. What incredible ignorance. The masses are deceived. Revelations 12, 7 through 12, by the God of this world. 2 Corinthians 4, 1 through 4, who uses his ministers as instruments to spread the most popular false gospel about the person of Messiah instead of the message of the kingdom of Elohim, which Messiah brought. Massive or deceived. And listen to what it says, by the God of this world. And that's exactly what he is. When they believed the lie, they gave all reign, all power and authority to Satan, to the adversary over this world. So he rules. He's the ruler, which it sounds crazy. It almost kind of sounds hard to believe, but that's what the scripture says. I mean, he is. Who uses his ministers. What? You mean to tell me Satan uses ministers as instruments? Yes. Yes, he does. He uses them. They sold their soul to him. And that's what you have in a lot of churches. A lot of, you know, mega churches. Most popular false gospel about the person of Messiah instead of the message of the kingdom of Elohim, which Messiah brought. Let's just read these two and then we'll catch up next Saturday. We're going to end right here. Revelations 12, 7 through 12. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought. And the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. Heaven is a real place. So you see that. So that's why he has these, just like I said, that Satan has ministers behind the pulpit. And the great dragon was cast out, the old serpent, called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. The scripture says a third of the angels fell with him. Why? Because he wanted that power. He wanted that authority. He wanted the kingdom. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our Elohim and the power of his Messiah. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our Elohim day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Thank God for the blood of the Lamb. Where would we be at without that blood? That's a scary thought to even think about. Where would I be? You know, we was just singing that song. He knew where he picked up all our pieces. When I thought I lost me. That song means something to me. It hits home when I hear that, when I sing that. Because I know exactly, I lived that out. And that was a scary, scary, scary place, a scary spot to be. Is when where you thought that you lost you, he came in. And that's powerful that he came in and did what he did. All by the blood of his that lamb, that sinless lamb. And by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he had but a short time. 2 Corinthians 4, 1 through 4. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of Elohim deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of Elohim, nor handling the word of Elohim deceitfully. But if our good news be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the mighty one of this world had blinded the minds of them which believe it not, lest the light of the glorious good news of Messiah, who is the image of Elohim, should shine unto them. You think it's not important that we know the kingdom, that we know the gospel, the kingdom of Elohim? It says, because the mighty one of the world had blinded the minds of them which believe it not. I said we was going to stop. Let's read one more. 2 Corinthians 11:10-15. We'll stop after this one, I promise. As the truth of Messiah is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. Wherefore, because I love you not, Elohim know it. Verse 12, but what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Messiah. Got to be careful. Deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Messiah. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Wow. Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. So you go back to the garden and you wonder how did he do it? You know, how was the two very perfect people that was clothed in the glory, how can they be so deceived that easily? It was covered in the glory. But it says that, so they was used to seeing that light barrier. It's what this, when you wrapped in your light, you wrapped in the glory. And it says that's how Satan himself is transformed. So it was not that, you know, I can't believe Adam and Eve did that. I mean, he came as a light bearer. So that day, it was easy for him to do it. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the minister of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. And this is where we're going to take off Saturday. This is a blunt, shocking scripture, yet it is true that Satan has ministers who appear to be the ministers of Elohim. And how you tell the difference? Line it up with Scripture. Go with the Scripture. See if what they're saying, if what they're preaching, if it lines up to the truth. And that's how you're going to tell. That's how you're going to be able to tell the difference between Satan ministers and who appear to be ministers of Elohim. I bet you, I guarantee you, you'll be able to distinguish the difference between them two if you just line it up with Scripture. That's what it's about. It's about taking the scripture and really looking at it and really going over it and studying it and spending some time with it. It's not nothing that you're just going to catch on the fly. You got to go over it and over it and over it. And you got to spend time praying and spend time seeking, you know, the Father to give you revelation on it. So, you know, it takes work. It takes work, but in order for us not to be deceived, this is what we have to do. Because, I mean, we're no different than from Adam and Eve. If they was easily deceived by that light barrier, guess what? We're the same way. Don't make us no different. It's probably a little more easy for us to be deceived than it was for them. I don't really think that the enemy has to work very hard for on us. So we just got to be careful. Just got to be careful and that we don't fall to that deception. That we stay prayed up and stay in the Word because it's so important, so important. So again, this is where we're going to take all Saturday about this scripture. It's a blunt, shocking scripture, it says, about Satan ministers. Satan has ministers. Wow. Who would have, you know, you don't hear that preached in the church today about his ministers. But he's got them. He's got them. So thank y'all. I appreciate the little time y'all give me to share the scripture with y'all. I really enjoy it. You know, I really enjoyed studying and going through it. Sometimes it gets a little nervous, but it's, you know, it's all good. There's nothing wrong with that. It comes with the territory. But thank y'all. I'm so glad y'all come out this morning, and we just love y'all and appreciate y'all. Anybody needs prayer, any prayer requests?